From the Mid-America Union headquarters in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is The Advance, the podcast for Outlook Magazine, and I am Hugh Davis. Over the course of the year, we will be demystifying Adventism, looking back at some of the traditions, practices, and policies of the Adventist Church. We will look back at the purposes, strengths, and challenges of some of the areas within the Adventist Church to help us better understand why we do the things we do and how can we improve them for the future. We will speak with Dr. Edward Allen, the chair of the Division of Religion at Union College. During this episode, we will be focusing on the 28 fundamental beliefs of the Adventist Church. Adventists hold 28 fundamental beliefs that can be organized into six categories: the doctrines of God, man, salvation, the church, the Christian life, and last day events. Seventh-day Adventists accept the Bible as the only source of our beliefs. We consider our movement to be the result of the Protestant conviction, sola scriptura, the Bible as the only standard of faith and practice for Christians. But where do these beliefs originate, and how have they been altered over the years? To answer those questions and others, we will visit Dr. Edward Allen from the Division of Religion at Union College. Hello, Dr. Allen. How are you?
Hello, I'm fine.
So when were the fundamental beliefs established, and what inspired their development?
The fundamental beliefs actually were established in the 1840s, but the list of fundamental beliefs that we currently have were not formulated until 1980.
Ah, okay. Other denominations have creeds. Are our fundamental beliefs creeds of the Adventist Church, or how would you describe them? What's the difference?
Well, a creed is just simply a list of beliefs. It comes from the Latin term credo, I believe. So to suggest that Adventists don't have a creed would simply not be correct. We've got a list of 28 fundamental beliefs. We say we believe these things. But early Adventists were deeply opposed to the use of creeds as a means of determining fellowship and determining ministerial qualifications. So they refused to put a list out that would say these are the things that you have to believe to be part of our group, or you have to believe in order to be a minister in our group.
And so how does the Bible interact with the development of our fundamentals?
Adventists have always said the Bible and the Bible alone is our creed. In fact, that's a part of this new 28 set of fundamental beliefs. But if you think about it for a minute, if you say the Bible is our statement of beliefs, it makes no sense. The Bible has almost 800,000 words in it, and that's what we believe? Well, in terms of our testing a person's fellowship and their qualification for ministry, the Bible is the way we test that, not the lists that we create.
I get it. Okay. I get it. So which fundamental belief was the last to be added?
the last one that was added. Well, let's go back. Let's start again with just the origins of the current list.
Okay.
In 1931, a request came from the African Division that a statement of beliefs be published in the yearbook. They had some concerns that the colonial administrators in Africa were thinking Adventism was a cult and that perhaps they didn't want them in their country. So the administrators in Africa felt that it would be helpful to say, no, we believe what most Christians believe. Giving administrators the list of our beliefs. And so the General Conference asked a very small committee to develop an unofficial list of beliefs to be published in the yearbook. That committee of four agreed with something that F.M. Wilcox wrote, and it was published. That list then continued to be the statement of Adventist beliefs, published in the yearbook until 1980. Prior to that General Conference, there was a sense that we needed to have a more complete and a better explanation of what Seventh-day Adventists believe. And so the General Conference led out in the development of the 27 fundamental beliefs that were passed and agreed upon at the General Conference in 1980.
Ah, I see. Okay. And so we have that list of beliefs ending with 27. So how did we get to 28?
There were some real concerns, again, in the mission field about issues related to demonic spirits. Missionaries were discovering there were baptized Adventist Christians who were still afraid of the spirits, or who would go to the local witch doctor, the local medicine man, the local healer, and use their contacts with the spirit world to bring healing to their bodies. These Adventist missionaries said, that's not accordance to what the Bible teaches. That's making alignment with evil spirits. And so they felt there was a need for an additional statement of beliefs that would address that concern.
I see. And that belief is what?
That actually ends up being the 11th in the list of 28. At the 2005 General Conference, the proposal was brought to add this belief and growing in Christ to the 27 because of those reasons, the concerns about freedom in Christ from the demonic powers. So the 2005 General Conference passed a 28th fundamental belief, which was then inserted in the list as number 11.
Ah, and that's how we get to 28.
That's correct.
Okay. So have any further revisions taken place since that time?
Yes. One of the most important things about the Adventist Statement of Fundamental Beliefs is its preamble. And that preamble, written before it, says that Adventists accept the Bible as the only creed, and we already talked about that, and they hold certain fundamental beliefs to be the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. Mm. So not only do we say the Bible's our only creed, but we do have a list of beliefs that we do all agree on. Mm-hmm. It goes on to say, though, that these beliefs, as set forth here, constitute the church's understanding and expression of the teaching of Scripture. So this list of beliefs, we believe, comes from the Bible. It's not something we cooked up on our own or got revealed to us from heaven. It comes from Scripture. Mm-hmm. And every one of them has a fairly lengthy list of Bible texts that support that fundamental belief. Mm-hmm. Then it goes on to say that revision of these statements may be expected, not possible, but may be expected at the General Conference session when the church, led by the Holy Spirit, to a fuller understanding of Bible truth, or finds better language in which to express the teachings of God's holy word. Hmm. So that list of 28 fundamental beliefs is not set in stone. Mm-hmm. It's expected it will be revised.
Hmm. And I think that's a good point to make, where maybe a younger generation feel we're set in our ways. Hmm. And there's no way to change things. But as long as that change is coming from the Holy Spirit, it looks like the church is open to receiving that message from the Holy Spirit. And if it needs to be a change, then they were open to that. Right. So it's important to put that in there for a specific reason, which goes to the credit that they are open to hearing new ideas.
And we don't expect our members or even our pastors to agree with absolutely everything in the 28th Statement of Fundamental Beliefs. Mm. I'll give you an example. Okay. You want a story?
Sure.
Okay. So I was ordained in the Seventh-day Adventist Church after the 1980 General Conference. Mm. Here's this new Statement of Fundamental Beliefs. So at my ordination interview, the conference president asked me, well, how do you feel about the new 27 Statement of Fundamental Beliefs? Anything there that you have some concerns about? I was prepared. There was one I had a concern about. Mm. I said, I have a concern about the statement on the spirit of prophecy. Mm. It says that Ellen White is a source of truth. And I believe the Bible is the only source of truth. Ellen White's not a source of truth. Mm. He said, yeah, I think we understand that. Mm-hmm. And he went on. Mm. So that was not a concern. Mm-hmm. He didn't use the Statement of Fundamental Beliefs as a creed to say, well, if you don't believe that, then we can't ordain you. Mm-hmm. He understood what's important is the ideas. Mm-hmm. Now, to finish the story, mm-hmm. in 2015, the Statement of Fundamental Beliefs was revised. In fact, that statement on the spirit of prophecy was revised. Mm. And it was revised in a way in which I could now say, I believe that and accept it wholeheartedly. So the church, the Holy Spirit led the church to a revision of that statement to improve it and say it more clearly as to what should be there. And what it says in the new statement has to do with how we look at the Ellen White as and her relationship to the truth. The new revision says that the gift of prophecy is an identifying mark of the remnant church, and we believe it's manifested in the ministry of Ellen White. No problem with that. Never was a problem with it. But now it says her writings speak with prophetic authority and provide comfort, guidance, instruction, and correction to the church. I say amen to that, and I'm grateful that the change was made. So the revision is expected, and it was done, and I'm agreeing with it.
Yeah, it's just a testament of how the Holy Spirit works.
Yes.
Within our church and helping us grow and develop, mm-hmm. because spirituality isn't something that remains stagnant. It grows.
Our understanding of truth grows. Mm-hmm. We always have said that truth is progressive. There is a present truth for each time. Mm-hmm. And this story is an illustration of how God's Spirit is working to accomplish that.
Well, thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Well, with that then, I guess it answers the question that I had prior to coming was, could more be added? And it seems like we've answered that.
Yes, more can be added.
More can be added.
Now, Hugh, I hope no more are.
Okay.
So if you're talking about fundamental beliefs, foundational things, 28 foundational things, that's
a
lot.
It is quite a bit, yeah.
And I think we probably have enough. We don't need any more. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What role do you think our fundamentals should play in the spiritual development of our constituents?
Spiritual development is a personal thing. And I see the Statement of Fundamental Beliefs as like a fence outside of a pasture. What's inside the fence feeds the horses, makes them thrive. And the fence keeps them from going out and falling off a cliff. So the fundamental beliefs, inside that set of fundamental beliefs, we're going to enrich our lives from Scripture, from the Holy Spirit's work with Scripture in our lives. And we're going to recognize that that fence defines who we as Seventh-day Adventists are. In terms of getting spiritual nourishment from the beliefs, I guess I haven't read them as part of my devotions recently. They're the fence. You got to have a fence, mm-hmm. but I don't spend a lot of time working on the fence. I don't eat the fence, for example.
Mm-hmm. I look at them as a foundational, part of my study of what I believe. To give me some grounding to then start developing my way of internalizing what my faith believes to me. Years ago, I had started, you know, studying our beliefs and looked at the book. And you know, I think we have a lot of books out there. But I looked at it and I said, let me look at this book and see what it has to say about different topics. And I was quite intrigued with the way they explained different things that we believe. Mm-hmm. A month later, I went to visit a friend at his house, and his cousin was there, and he was a Jehovah's Witness, and his mom was an Adventist. And he started questioning some of our beliefs. And it just so happened, I had studied the beliefs that he was questioning. And I was able, with the limited study that I had done, to answer every one of his questions, which gave me more confidence in the beliefs that we have. And he was shocked. And we left admirably, because he had not heard those beliefs that were Bible-based, that I could back up. And we agreed to disagree on some things.
Sure.
But it gave me more confidence that what we believed was relevant and that people need to know what they are.
Right. I like your idea of a foundation. If you're building a house and there's something wrong with the foundation, that's not going to be well built, and it's going to come down eventually. So we have a good foundation. Then in our interactions with other people about Scripture, we then can share with them the truths that God has shared with us. And again, it goes back to the Bible as our only rule of faith and practice. I hear people say, I wonder what Adventists believe. Well, let me teach you Adventist beliefs. No. I wonder what Adventists believe. Well, let me show you what the Bible teaches on those subjects. Mm. When I invite somebody to do a Bible study with me, I invite them to do a subject study of Scripture on the various important points that Scripture has. Mm-hmm. I don't ask them to study Adventist beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I do the same.
Good.
I want to know what topic you want to know about, and then let's go through the concordance, or let's go through the Bible, and let's kind of see what the Bible has to say about it, and let the Bible speak for itself.
Right.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. This was a very thought-provoking conversation. I hope that our listeners also will be blessed by what was shared today. And my prayer is that you take a fresh look at our Seventh-day Adventist beliefs and experience a new outlook to advance your spiritual walk with Christ. Thank you for listening. To find inspiring stories and news from around Mid-America to help encourage your spiritual journey, please visit outlookmag.org, and may the Lord bless you and keep you.